call your attention to verse number 13 of Acts chapter 26. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in thee. The Apostle Paul, a preacher. I want you to be seated. You know, many today, like Saul of Tarsus, are listening to the lower call. Oh, they're sincere. They're earnest about it. They're dedicated. They believe that what they're doing is right. You see, Paul, before he was saved, was a man named Saul, Saul of Tarsus. He was what the Bible calls a Pharisee, religious, fasted twice a week, gave tithes of all that he possessed, memorized the Old Testament law, never broke or violated that law. And when Jesus Christ showed up on the scene, the Apostle Paul believed that he was wrong. He believed that Jesus Christ was just another false prophet, that he was not really the Messiah. And so Saul set out to destroy those who were following the teachings of Jesus Christ. He went to churches and wreaked havoc with those churches, putting people in prison, killing some of those Christians. But one day, this man, Saul of Tarsus, was on a road to Damascus. He had authority from the chief priests and the scribes to put anybody to death who was following Jesus Christ. But on that day, on that road to Damascus, a bright light shined down upon him and blinded him. And Saul of Tarsus heard a higher call. We're praying in these next few hours of youth conference that this will be your road to Damascus. We're praying that this will be your Pacific Garden mission. We're praying that this youth conference will be the time in your life where you will hear a higher call. What's this call all about? What's this theme all about? Higher call. Is it worth listening to? Is it worth heeding? Is it worth following? Is it worth responding to? As I see the testimony of Paul now years later, as he stands in a courtroom before a king named Agrippa, and he begins to recall this experience on the Damascus Road, as he begins to think back to that moment in his life when God spoke to him about a higher call, I believe we see in this testimony three guarantees of this higher call. I see, first of all, it is a purposed call. In verse number 16, he said, I heard God say, Rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Young people, do you realize that God has designed you? God has created you. He knew exactly how tall you were going to be when you were 13 years old. He knew exactly how much you would weigh at age 16. He had it all designed, written in a book, according to Psalm 139. When you were still being formed in your mother's womb, God already knew everything about you because he was creating you to be exactly the person he wanted you to be. The psalmist said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I know sometimes you look at your life and you get frustrated with yourself and you think, I'm just a kid, I'm just a teenager, I'm just in junior high, I'm not very good at school, I'm not very good at sports, I don't have a winsome personality, I don't have a lot of friends. God made you exactly like he wants you to be. And it's time for you as a teenager to come to a place on the Damascus Road tonight and realize that you need to thank God for the facts of your past. You say, Brother Getch, I've already messed up my life. I've already done some bad stuff. I've looked at some things. I've listened to some things. I've been with a crowd. You don't understand. I don't have my purity anymore. My past is messed up. Can I tell you, God is not looking for perfect people. Saul's past was messed up. Saul of Tarsus was a murderer. Saul of Tarsus had blasphemed the name of Christ. Saul of Tarsus was trying to wreck Christianity. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Look back up at verse number 9 as he gives this testimony here in chapter 26. He said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing also I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. Messed up. Persecuting God's ways. But God wasn't looking for a perfect man. Some of you sit here tonight and you think, I can't serve God. I can't hear the higher call. I've already wrecked my life. I've already ruined my life. I've got sin in my life. I come from a broken home. My parents are not saved. I go to a public school. I don't have any Christian friends. I don't get to go to church like some of you all do. Why don't you thank God tonight that he brought you to this place for a youth conference? Why don't you thank God for the facts of your past? Why don't you thank God tonight for this Damascus Road? Why don't you thank God for this opportunity to hear the higher call? And don't only thank him tonight for the facts of the past, but why don't you thank him for his future plan? In verse number 16, God says, Paul, I've got a purpose for your life. I know you've messed it up. I know you've got some sin in your life. I know that you've done some things that you're not proud of. But Paul, I've got a purpose for your life. Why don't you ask God to show you his purpose this week? He knoweth the way that I take, Job said. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has a good and an acceptable and a perfect will of God for every teenager in this room. And the God of the universe tonight loves you, and he cares about you, and he wants you to serve him. It's a purpose call. And he's never made a mistake. You can trust him. But I see that this call is not only a purpose call, but it's a people call. In verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Young people, understand this higher call. It is God's desire to separate you from the snares of people. He said so in verse number 17, delivering thee from the people. You know, it's interesting how, as people, we are very much influenced by people. We call it peer pressure. We watch what other people are doing, and we want to do that because that kind of makes us in with those people. And so we become followers, we become mimics. We see somebody that we think is cool doing something, we think, well, I want to do that because I want to be cool. When I was 16, my dad allowed me to take our second car to school. I was playing sports, and my mom was tired of picking me up after ball practice every night. And so my dad said, I'm going to give you the keys to the car, and you can drive to school, and you can go to ball practice and then come home. And I was pretty excited about that because our second car was a 1957 Bel Air Chevy. Yeah. 283 engine. That thing would move. It would move quickly. I got it up to 94 miles an hour one time on a country road, but then I had the thought that my dad might be in that cornfield up on the next intersection. I thought, I'm not doing this anymore. But I would drive that car to school. Now, I'm going to admit something tonight that might surprise you. I hated rock music. I didn't get saved. I was 15. And I went to a public school, and, you know, my friends listened to it. There were a couple of radio stations back in there that day, WOKY out of Milwaukee, WLS out of Chicago, and they played constant rock music, and my friends were into that big time. They'd listen to it in the locker room. They'd listen to it, you know, here and there, and their transistor radios back in those days. We didn't have the earbuds and, you know, the iPods and all that kind of stuff. But I'd get in that 57 Chevy, and I'd drive to school. And I'd get about two blocks from the high school, and I'd roll down the windows, and I'd turn on WLS out of Chicago and let the music blare. I hated it. But I wanted everybody else to think I liked it. And I'd come cruising into the parking lot of school, and all my friends, you know, they'd see me, and they'd hear the radio blaring, and I'd get to my spot, turn off the car, and I was so happy. I didn't have to listen to that music anymore. And after school, I'd get in my car, or after practice, I'd get in my car, and I'd roll the windows down, I'd turn on that radio, and get that rock music blaring. I hated it. And I'd have it on for about two blocks till I got out of sight of all my friends, and I'd turn it off. Isn't that stupid? The only reason I did it was because I wanted these people to think I was cool. God wants to save you from the snares of people. He wants to set you apart for himself. You see, Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. There's a whole lot of people in the crowd that's on the wide road headed for hell. And unfortunately, many of us as God's people, we want them to like us. And so we want to be like them. And God says, hey, I've got a higher call for you. I want to pull you away from the snares of the world. I want to pull you away from the snares of what's going to destroy your life. because there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Billy Sunday, oh, you can read his life. Before he got saved, he was one of the crowd. He enjoyed a beer here and there, playing with that baseball crowd. The snare of sin, the snare of the flesh, the snare of the devil. But not only does God want to separate you from the snare of people, he wants to send you to the serving of those same people. Did you notice it there in verse 17? Delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send. God says, Paul, I got a higher call for you. I got a higher purpose for you. I'm going to try to pull you away from the snare of these people that you've been following. I'm going to set you apart to myself, and I'm going to send you back to those people. You see, this is a people call. Someone has said, if you want your life to count, live it for something that outlasts it. What's going to outlast your life, teenager? Your money? No, that stays here. Your fame? No, that quickly fades and dies. What will outlast your life? And there's only one answer. And that's the souls of men. People are the only thing you can take with you when you leave this earth. And God says, hey, I've got a higher call for you. I've got a purpose for you that's not just for now, making a few bucks, having some fun, being in the party crowd. No, no, no. I want to deliver you from the snare of that, and I want to send you to those same people because you get to reach them with the gospel that's eternal. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hark, 'tis the master's voice I hear, out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Who'll go and help this shepherd kind? Help him the wandering ones to find. Who'll bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold? Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains, wild and high. Hark, 'tis the master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. It's a people call. It's a purpose call. But I see finally tonight, it is a preeminent call. Isaiah heard this call. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, then said I, here am I, Lord, send me. You remember when you were in elementary school and you'd go out for recess? I don't know what you did at recess. Probably played video games on your phone. I don't know. But when I was a kid, back in the Old Testament, when we went out for recess, we played football. That's what we did. I mean, it didn't matter if it was a 10-minute recess, lunch hour. It didn't matter. If we were outside, we were playing football. And I don't know why we did this, but every time we went out for recess, we chose new teams. I don't know why we just didn't keep the same teams. It would have saved a lot of time. We would have played a lot more football if we had chosen teams every time we went out. And in our elementary school, the same two guys were always captains. I don't know who made them captains, but they were always the captains. Rob Stupka and Jim Twesme. They were always the captains. They'd always pick up the teams. And they'd flip a coin or pick a number to see who got first choice. Now, Rob was a good player. He was a quarterback. He could throw the ball. And you wanted to be on Rob's team. Now, Jim was a nice guy, good guy, decent football player. In fact, Rob broke his leg in an ugly injury his freshman year of football never played again. Jim went on to be all-conference as an offensive guard. But back in grade school, Rob was the guy. He always won. Jim never won. He was good, but he wasn't a quarterback. So nobody wanted to be on Jim's team. Everybody wanted to be on Rob's team because Rob always won. So they'd flip a coin, pick a number, and Jim would get first pick. And he'd be looking over the crowd of us, and we'd all be kind of, you know, if there was somebody near us, we'd try to stand behind him. And we'd hope he wouldn't pick us. And if he didn't, then it was Rob's turn. When Rob's turn was, we'd all go. Then he'd take some other clod. You'd be going, what an idiot, man. Can't win without me. Now it's back to Jim's turn. Isn't it amazing, teenagers? How when the world calls, when the lower call calls, we're like, yeah, take me. Hey, come on, devil, come on, Satan, you can have my life, come on. Oh, yeah, those guys, yeah, I want to be with them. Oh, that music, yeah, I want that music. Oh, yeah, oh, world, take me, hey, come on, take me. Then we come to youth conference. And God starts talking. It's your Damascus Road. It's your Pacific Garden Mission. God calls, and we're like, Lord, hear my, send my sister. Young person, all we're trying to say to you this week is the higher call is a preeminent call. It's a call to enlightenment. In verse 18, he said to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. Young person, you realize when we get saved, we go from darkness to light. When you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, you take them from darkness to light. It's a call of enlightenment, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. To give light to them that sit in darkness. Jesus declared one day, I am the light of the world. And you know what he says to you and I tonight? You are the light of the world. You are the city that needs to be set on a hill, not under a bushel, not covered up. Let your light shine. And can I tell you something? All of the darkness in this world cannot put out one light. You say, but preacher, I'm the only one in my family that's saved. You let your light shine. You say, but preacher, I go to a public school and I'm the only one in my school that's saved. You let your light shine. You say, but preacher, I live in a neighborhood and there's nobody in my neighborhood that knows God and that loves God. You let your light shine. Yes, this world is dark, and it's getting darker all the time, but no amount of darkness can put out one light. It's a call to enlightenment. It's a call to eradication. He says in verse 18, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. Do you realize what this higher call involves? It involves a supernatural work of God. To answer the call of God, to follow God, to be involved in God's work is a supernatural call. You see, men are born in sin. They're enslaved by sin. They'll be punished in hell forever because of sin. But Jesus saves. He saves sinners like Billy Sunday. He saves sinners like John Getz. He saves sinners like every teenager in this room. God does a work of eradication, and he wants you to carry that message. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What a message. What a mission. What a call. A call to enlightenment, a call to eradication, and it's a call to the eternal. To give them, verse 18, forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Oh, this higher call is not about some temporary, earthly, here and now work. This is an eternal work. This is a work that lasts forever. You give your life to Jesus Christ. You let God have your life to use in whatever way he pleases. And you're involved in a work for God that will never end. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Father that gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Oh, he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Young person, when you surrender to the call, the higher call of God, you're involved in an eternal work. So this is our road to Damascus. This is the street corner in Chicago, just outside the Pacific Garden Mission. This is Youth Conference, 2014. Baseball career? 84 stolen bases in 1 year, pretty impressive. 8 years, lifetime batting average over 270. Most sports writers today still believe that Billy Sunday ran the bases faster than any person that's ever played the game. Lower call. But one day, God said, Billy, I got something more than stealing bases. I got something more than $3,500 a year. I got something more than the fame and the success that the sports world can give you. I've got a higher call for you. Saul of Tarsus, pretty amazing resume, Saul. The religious crowd loved you. You believed in what you were doing. Sincere, dedicated to it. But Saul, I got something better for you. I got a higher call. I've appeared unto thee for this purpose. Teenager. Here it is, the lower call. I don't know what it is for you. A talent? A friend? Certain kind of career? Certain amount of money? Certain amount of happiness? Car, a house, a beach condo. I don't know what it is. But God says, I got something higher. I got something for you to do, teenager. It's a higher call because it's eternal. So where are you going to tune your ear? The light's shining on you. The voice is clear. I've appeared unto thee for this purpose. Teenager, will you hear? In these few hours, we are here together on the Damascus Road, the higher call. I'd like every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed as you close your Bibles in your lap. You've done a great job tonight of listening, watching, participating. I want to ask you a question. You're going to hear numerous preachers this week while you're here. Several messages. Oh, yeah.